Welcome back to Amit Sigal Telegram. Today, we're diving into a very intense 24 hours, focusing on the reported ceasefire between Israel and Iran and the events surrounding it. I'm joined by Corey, a Middle East geopolitical analyst, to help us unpack everything. Corey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's certainly been a whirlwind.
Absolutely. So let's start with the big picture. We saw reports, initially from President Trump, about a ceasefire. Then conflicting information started emerging. What's your take on how this all unfolded?
Well, the initial announcement by Trump, as reported by U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, who said he woke up to the wonderful news that President Trump is giving to the world about a ceasefire, was premature, to say the least. The Iranians quickly countered with their foreign minister stating that there was no ceasefire, only that they would stop attacking if Israel did, starting at 4 a.m. Tehran time. That discrepancy highlights the fragility of these kinds of agreements, especially when brokered through third parties.
It indicates a few things. First, that Israel was likely trying to achieve maximum strategic advantage before any potential ceasefire took hold. Second, it suggests a lack of full coordination or perhaps even trust between the U.S. and Israel regarding the timing and conditions of the ceasefire. And third, it demonstrates Iran's vulnerability to these kinds of strikes, further escalating tensions. We also saw reports of rockets being fired towards central and southern Israel, including a deadly strike in Be'er Sheva. Amit Sigal reported three were murdered in Be'er Sheva, later revised to four, after a missile hit apartments. How does this impact the ceasefire and the overall narrative?
Tragically, the attack in Be'er Sheva significantly complicates matters. As Amit Sigal noted, murder for the sake of murder, after a humiliating defeat on the battlefield and loss of strategic assets. These attacks, even as ceasefire talks were underway, can be seen as an attempt by hardliners within Iran to sabotage any de-escalation efforts, or at least extract a higher price for it. And, of course, it fuels the Israeli public's desire for retaliation. It's important to approach these claims with a degree of skepticism. While Israel undoubtedly inflicted significant damage on Iranian nuclear and military infrastructure, completely eliminating the nuclear threat is highly unlikely. Iran has a history of dispersing its assets and pursuing nuclear ambitions through clandestine means. The statement is likely aimed at bolstering public morale and justifying the ceasefire, but the reality on the ground is probably more nuanced.
Yes, they reflect a deep division within Israel on how to handle Iran. Lieberman's view represents the hawkish perspective, which favors a more aggressive and uncompromising approach. Golan's statement, while acknowledging a security achievement, emphasizes the need for strict verification and enforcement mechanisms within the ceasefire agreement. This highlights the ongoing debate about whether diplomacy or military force is the most effective way to contain Iran's ambitions. After the ceasefire announcement, the shekel strengthened dramatically against the dollar. What does this indicate about the economic impact of the conflict and the ceasefire?
The strengthening of the shekel suggests that the market perceives the ceasefire as a positive development that reduces uncertainty and risk. A prolonged conflict would have had significant negative consequences for the Israeli economy, so the prospect of de-escalation is naturally welcomed by investors. However, this is a short-term reaction, and the long-term economic impact will depend on the sustainability of the ceasefire and the overall regional stability. Then, almost immediately after the initial ceasefire reports, we saw reports of renewed rocket fire from Iran and retaliatory strikes by Israel. Defense Minister Katz ordered intense attacks against regime targets in the heart of Tehran. What does this back and forth tell us?
It underscores the extreme fragility of the ceasefire and the deep-seated mistrust between the two sides. It suggests that either the initial agreement was poorly negotiated
or that elements within both Iran and Israel are actively trying to undermine it. This cycle of escalation and de-escalation is a dangerous pattern that could easily spiral out of control. Finally, Trump tweeted that both Israel and Iran violated the ceasefire and also claimed that Iran will never rebuild its nuclear program, then reportedly told Israel to bring the pilots home. What do you make of this? Trump's statements are characteristically contradictory. On one hand, he acknowledges the violations, suggesting the ceasefire is failing. On the other, he claims Iran's nuclear program is finished, which seems overly optimistic. His directive to bring the pilots home suggests that the U.S. is trying to de-escalate the situation, but it also raises questions about the level of coordination and trust between the U.S. and Israel.
Corey, this has been incredibly insightful. Thank you for breaking down this complex situation for us.
My pleasure. It's a developing situation, so we'll have to wait and see how it unfolds.